On the program today, we have Ann Way. We're going to talk about the smoke-free workplace. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Casey.
It's great to have you on the program.
Thanks.
How long has it been now since the smoke-free workplace law took effect?
Well, the original Indoor Clean Air Act went into place in Oregon in 2002. Then it was extended and a lot of information added to it, and that was 3 years ago. Believe it or not, January 1st, 2009. So we are now 3 years into the smoke-free workplace law here in Oregon. And what it did is it extended the Indoor Clean Air Act from businesses, other businesses like offices and a place like this, to bars and restaurants, and then it did some changes with bowling alleys and cigar shops.
You know, prior to that, Ann, can you give us a little history of the kinds of things you worked on in regard to smoking? Where do you come into the picture when someone wants to contact you about dealing with smoke, cigarette smoking, nicotine use?
Are you just talking about a regular person, or are we talking about the law?
No, I'm talking about you and basically the services you provide.
Okay, well, the grant funding that we have from the state to do the work of the Tobacco Prevention Education Program doesn't allow us to spend any money on cessation, which is very frustrating, especially here in Lincoln County, because up until about a year ago, we didn't have anything on the ground here. No place to send anybody for tobacco cessation services, which is really should be a crime in itself because of our high tobacco use rate. But now we do. We have the Ditch Tobacco Program, which is provided by Bayshore Family Medical in Lincoln City and Tillamook. And then I have some insider information that I believe one of the hospitals is going to send a respiratory therapist for some training. Mm-hmm. So if that happens, that will be great, because then we will have something right here on the coast where we need it for people. If people call me, though, the first thing I'm supposed to be doing is telling them to call the 1-800-QUIT-LINE. It's a free service for anyone who lives in the state of Oregon. So I do that a lot. But also I have a lot of printed materials and checklists for people to use. And I created a journal if they want to stop using tobacco. So I will ask them questions. You know, how old are you? Do you have children in your home? Do you have older people in your home? Any chronic conditions? Do you use chew or do you smoke? And then I will put together a packet of information just for that person for that phone call and send it to them for nothing. They just need to give me a call and let me know that they're looking for something.
As far as cessation programs go, is there any particular reason that we don't have a lot on the ground, or do other counties have more, or is this just the way funding rolls down from the state?
Oh, that's a hard question, because it really depends on where you are as to what your funding is and what you can do with that funding. There are 36, actually that's not true, there are 32 TPEP coordinators like myself, Tobacco Prevention Education. Then there are 7 tribal coordinators also. So there are a lot of us doing this work. The tribe, their grant funding is not the same as ours, mainly because they operate and function quite differently than I would as a county coordinator. So it just depends on where you are. It is frustrating, though, when other counties have more services available and it looks to the public like it's coming from the tobacco coordinator. It may indeed be coming from the tobacco coordinator, but it's how they're funded. So I'm funded through 3 different streams, and I do 3 different jobs when I'm at work, if that makes any sense. I do the healthy communities work, and I'm also the tobacco coordinator and the living well coordinator. So all of my tasks all blend together, but I have to be kind of careful about which hat I'm wearing when I'm doing what I'm doing. And there are other TPEP coordinators who, they do have cessation available, but they're not wearing their tobacco coordinator hat when they're doing that work.
Got you. Yeah, it is sort of nebulous, isn't it?
It is.
Because you're juggling.
Yeah.
Well, you're really working on the front of, you know, community health.
Right.
And
yeah.
Targeting issues and a lifestyle that will make people healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to being a TPEP coordinator, I mean, were you the first, or were there coordinators before you?
We had a tobacco program here in the county before I was involved in tobacco, and then the funding went away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I've looked through that old notebook so many times, and in April they got a letter saying, as in May, your program is done. And if the county was not, and it wasn't at that time, able to pick up those services, the tobacco program just went away in the course of a month.
So what do you think changed as far as the critical mass that they needed to get the program rolling again? Do you remember at the time and the climate that was affecting those decision-making?
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to have a very thorough answer, but I'll give it a try here. I was working here for the county at that time in the administration office for Health and Human Services. So I was here, and I was an admin assistant at that time, and then our health educator left, and so then I took over the role of the Living Well coordinator, and so it just the grant coordinator for that. And then as other things were coming through and the state was taking a serious look at it and saying, you know, our tobacco use rate is really high and we have way too many people in the state of Oregon who are dying because of tobacco use or exposure to secondhand smoke. We need to take a serious look at this and do something. And that's when they went forward and got funding from the CDC for the tobacco programs in the state.
Your observations now that you've been working at this, do you see awareness changing?
Oh, yes.
It is. And it's just hard, isn't it?
It's incredibly hard. And I did smoke. I have not smoked for 26-plus years now. But it is an addiction. And if we can stop when we're talking about this and thinking about it, especially in our personal conversations with people, we might have a loved one who smokes. We want them to stop. And it's not that easy. The addiction to nicotine, which is the main chemical in tobacco itself, before they add all the other bad things to the nicotine itself, that is so incredibly addictive. And if we can just take the judgment out of it, we can help ourselves and we can help other people, our loved ones and friends, to stop using tobacco. It's the hardest thing a person will probably ever do. Research shows that it's probably as addictive or more addictive as heroin.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can look at it in that way and know that we really need to help people with their addiction, then it's much easier. It takes the average person, I don't know who average is, I don't know what average is, I don't know where people come up with these things, 7 quit attempts to stop. That's a pretty strong pull back to tobacco use.
Right. And like alcohol, it's very predominant.
Very.
In different settings. So,
it is.
You know, obviously if you walk into Christmas dinner shooting up heroin, people are going to think that's odd, but having a cigarette on the front porch probably isn't.
I hope they think that's odd, Casey. Holy moly. No. And one of the big things that's helped is all of our tobacco work is centered around policy work. So we have a lot of our big organizations here in the county that now have tobacco-free policies. We have Head Start of Lincoln County, tobacco-free. The hospitals, that's the entire Samaritan system. There are 2 of the 5 hospitals here in our county. They have a tobacco-free policy. Our Oregon Coast Community College has a tobacco-free campus policy. The school district, Lincoln County School District, they have a tobacco-free policy. So when you have a lot of the bigger organizations moving in that direction, it's a great model. And there are a lot of people who are employed and a lot of people who receive services. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's got little tendrils like an octopus, I guess.
Yeah.
And it just leaches out a little bit further. More people are learning and understanding how dangerous being around secondhand smoke is.
Lincoln County Connections, talking to Ann Way. She's our TPEP coordinator, tobacco and prevention coordinator, and we're discussing the smoke-free workplace law. Things have gone better than maybe some thought it would go, which is great. Talk about the fear maybe of some workplaces about the smoke-free workplace law. What did you experience when that came onto the ground at first?
One of the first things, the big change was that bars and restaurants then had to become smoke-free.
Yeah.
And so I had a lot of pushback, and it's not just me. I can speak for probably 99% of the TPEP coordinators in the state. Bar and restaurant owners were very fearful that we were going to put them out of business.
Yeah.
That was the big thing.
Right.
You're just trying to put me out of business. What are you trying to do here, you know? And that's not what evidence before showed was going to happen, and that's not what has happened. As far as I know, there's not been one business in Lincoln County that's gone out of business since the smoke-free workplace went into law because they had to go smoke-free. Not one. Now, somebody could call me and tell me this afternoon, and actually, if you know of a business or it was your business that was directly related to the smoke-free workplace law, I would like to know that because I don't know of any. One of the worst parts about it is that that's when the recession really hit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we did have a lot of businesses who were really struggling at that time anyway, but the smoke-free workplace law did not cause that to happen.
Right, right. And since then, how have the, the complaints, have they died down? Do you see that very often anymore? I mean, has everybody pretty much conformed to things and found a balance?
Oh, I wish I could say that that was true. It kind of comes in waves. We have a lot of complaints, mm-hmm. and then we don't have any complaints for a while, and then I have a whole bunch of inspections that I have to do, and then it dies down again. So there's kind of an ebb and flow, and I'm not sure what it is. I think what it is when we have a lot of visitors here in the county, then we have more complaints. So during spring break, I always anticipate a few extras. Once summertime really gets here, about the 1st of July or middle of July, then I have an increase in complaints too. And it was really interesting. Mm. Over the Christmas break, when schools were out, that's when I noticed it, Oregon schools were out, we've had a number of complaints recently. So people are traveling more and people are more aware of it, and that's good. And that's something I do want to mention, is that this is a complaint-driven law. I do not just go out and I see, honestly, every single day, every day that I leave my home and come to town, I see people violating the law. But I'm not a regular citizen, and that's because I have a better understanding, and so I can't just go submit complaints to the state. It has to be a regular citizen. Now, I will say I have seen things, and I do file a complaint occasionally, but I have to be not working, because if I'm working, I have my work hat on. If I'm not working, then I don't have my work hat on, obviously. But that's a real rarity. So people in the community need to be, either they can call me, they can call the state, or they can go to the, sorry about that, the state's mm-hmm. website, and they can put the complaint in themselves. And they can do it anonymously. Even if they call me, I will ask you who you are and if you liked your name on the complaint or not. The reason that we do that is because all the complaints, it's public information. At the same time, I just don't dish out names of businesses and people who are associated with them. So if you call me and file a complaint and attach your name to it, you can call me back at any time and ask me what's going on with that complaint. If you don't give me your name, then I can't give you that information. So that's really important. If you want to be kept abreast of what's going on, you need to do that. So I encourage anyone to call me. Even if you're not sure if it's a complaint, call me and we can talk about it. And I am required to put it into the system, but then there's a process I go through to validate those complaints. And if it's not really a complaint, it won't really show up.
So let me give you a scenario. I'm at work. The weather starts getting better. I like to have my window open. And then occasionally I notice I'm taking in some pretty good whiffs of, somebody smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So does the burden fall on the business, or who am I looking at to say, I really don't want to breathe that smoke. I wish that person would possibly go somewhere so
it's
I don't have to
owner.
Share it. It's the business then.
It's the business owner. And there's no smoking within 10 feet of any door. And it doesn't matter what kind, if it's a gigantic garage door to auto parts store or a shop, anything, a door is a door. The state doesn't say, this size of a door, that size of a door. And let's say it's a small business and the owner only goes through the back door. It's still a door. A door is a door. Any window that has the ability to open. So if you have a window at the front of your business that has the ability to open but you never open it, you still cannot smoke within 10 feet of
gotcha.
That. Or an air intake vent, because that just pulls all those nasty toxins right into the business and circulates them to everybody inside.
Well, I guess it sends a message to those who want to indulge. You've got to find a space where it's not filtering into somebody else's lungs, basically.
Yes. And that's one of the really hard parts about being right here on the coast, because in our wonderful afternoons when the tide changes, we get a little breeze. So sometimes the air may be blowing in that nasty, the cigarette smoke with all those toxins that are dangerous for you, may be blowing in your window, but they could be 30 feet away.
Right. So you do have to be mindful of that. And
we do.
And think about,
we do.
Okay, are they complying?
Right.
So what else about the smoke-free law are we looking at and going into 2012? Anything on the horizon?
There are. The state is currently working on changing some of the OARs, the Oregon statutes, Oregon Revised Statutes, ORSs, I'm sorry, not OARs. OARs are the Oregon Administrative Rules, and they're looking at changing some of those. And it really, the wording is going to look different, mm-hmm. but nothing is really going to change on the outside. It's the way I will be doing that enforcement work that mm-hmm. will actually be changing. There are a few things with cigar shops and how they get certified, and the state does all that certification. Luckily, the TPEP coordinators don't have to do it. So there are a few changes that are coming down the pike, but that won't be for a while.
And generally not affecting what people should have in terms of expectations
no.
about behavior or what businesses should be doing to be in compliance?
No. The amounts are going to go up. And so if you're a business owner and you have employees that are smoking and you know that they're smoking where they shouldn't be, you really want to get a grip on that now because you don't want to have to pay the fines.
And with 3 minutes left, I do want to ask you a question. I had heard a couple of years ago that legislation had passed that was going to require tobacco companies to list the ingredients much in the same way the ingredients are listed in a food product. At that particular time, I forget who was being interviewed, was saying that we probably wouldn't see that until 2012. Is that still coming down the pipeline?
That work has already been done, and it was as of last, July, that the labels, warning labels on cigarette packages and any tobacco products actually, need to be more obvious, and they're more graphic. And there's all
but,
kinds of
but
stuff.
Not necessarily those specific ingredients yet?
No, not the specific ingredients. No, the FDA is doing a lot of work with trying the tobacco companies. Part of it is that, you know, they have patents on their recipes.
Sure.
And so they don't have to share that information, like some of the new products that are coming out. It's amazing the amount of money that tobacco companies have and what
right.
the government needs to fight with them about. It's just
well,
amazing.
It's interesting because, you know, food, obviously, you know,
yep.
you list what you use. And
yep.
you know, why wouldn't it be the same for tobacco? And considering, you know, there might be some, at least we've heard, whether or not it's true, that, you know, there are these other chemicals. And what are they? I mean, it would
4,
be great for people to know.
Chemicals added to tobacco during the processing, 4,000. And a couple hundred of those are carcinogens, which means they are cancer-causing agents mm-hmm. in the tobacco.
So, Anne, if anyone wants to get a hold of you, how can they reach our TPEP coordinator?
I am at the health department. My phone number is 541-265-0465, and that's direct to me.
And any workshops coming up in regard to tobacco, anything in particular?
No, I'm starting some work. I'm increasing, making changes to the Tobacco Action Coalition. So if you'd like to know more about that, let me know. Or if you'd like to be a member of the TAC, arms are open wide, and we encourage you. And that's even if you're a smoker, we need to have that input and insight into our conversations when we meet.
And finally, if someone does want to make a complaint about tobacco use, what's that process?
They could go onto the State of Oregon Public Health Division state website, or they could call me.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ann Way. Appreciate you coming on the program.
Thanks, Casey.
I'm sure you'll keep us up to date on tobacco use in the future. We appreciate you listening. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, do my best. This has got at least one.